Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the Figgis Studios, it is Weekend Geek Update. We are sponsored by Suzy Q's, the crafter of some creative and colorful works of just fascinating jewelry. Go to SuzyQ's.com, check out her wares, things you're going to wear, her works, her creations. They are spectacular. I can't even come up with enough adjectives to describe just the raw talent and just how cool the creation Suzy comes up with. She's showcasing a new bracelet that is actually, I want this. I want to buy this one. So it is, I don't want to buy all of her stuff. Some of it just wouldn't go with my complexion. But this bracelet, this dark one, barrel bracelet, is really, really sexy. I'm digging it. So go check it out. Get your orders in while you can. I'm sure she can make as many as possible, but I know she's got some ready to go. You can be the first on your block to have one. Everyone will be the envy of you. Like, ooh, where'd you get that? That is the key, isn't it? You want people to just go, ooh, where'd you get that? And you're like, I'm not telling you. Anyway, moving on. We're in a weird vacuum as we're transitioning over to the new format and the new podcast and the new crew and everything, and the new remodel on the studio and everything that's gone on here. So I didn't want to go a week without a podcast, but there's still news and stuff that I want to not talk about, but that needs to be talked about for the podcast with the new crew. So instead of going without, you know, a podcast last week, coming out of the holiday weekend and everything, I came up with my take on, on the Doctor Who special, and you know, I don't have a take for you this week, not yet. I'm working on a couple actually, because I didn't finish Star Trek yet, as far as Discovery, so don't tell me. And that is probably going to be my next take, or probably one of the stories that I am going to talk about, because there's no way I'm not going to have a take on this just because of everything that has gone on with it. And I'm sure we will talk about it in the upcoming podcast with the new crew, so you'll be able to get their perspective on it, and there'll probably be more information by that date. So we'll cover that, but there's a couple of things that are coming up this week that I want to bring up just because of not time sensitive, but definitely you're working on a ticking clock. The other stuff I can kind of just roll to later in the week when we do the new podcast. So yes, speaking cryptically and showing you everything but giving you nothing. Yeah. Tell me what movie that's from. So, moving on, we've got one of the big stories is the WandaVision is finally happening, and they've announced a new special guest, a new celeb that is joining the team. And it's kind of funny because nobody really saw this coming. Of course, Marvel is in their usual stealth mode when it comes to who all, what all, and be all of their stories, their characters, and the overall arc. But Buffy Vampire, Buffy the Vampire Slayer alum Emma Caulfield is appearing in the series. Now, as far as what her character is or could be, is very, I don't even know. I mean, the problem is we have no foothold on what to expect from this show. And the show will be premiering finally January 15th on Disney Plus. Now, There's been different rumors as far as, are we going to get like a bunch of shows, or is it like a 2-hour special, or, you know, are we going to have to go through the normal, the slow feeding of episodes like we've come accustomed to when it comes to Disney Plus? And that's fine. I like the weekly installments. It lets me plan my social schedule accordingly and actually sit down and enjoy a show. I don't know if I'm maybe alone in this, but I'm finding that I'm not enjoying the shows as much when binged. You know, I get the initial rush, the excitement, but that whole just overwhelming, just okay, I've powered through all of it, and there's no intrigue, there's no buildup, there's no suspense, there's just, here's the whole story. And as much as I like that, and it's fun to enjoy that, I'm not enjoying TV as much anymore, or at least watching shows. And that's kind of depressing to me. I mean, if I want to see a movie, I'll go see a movie, and, you know, I figure out the whole time. But binging entire shows in one weekend just kind of leaves me flat, and it makes me sad, because all the speculation, the building of, ooh, maybe it's this or maybe it's that, or it's just, you know, coming to your own conclusions, being able to expand on a story, or, you know, I really hope it goes this way, or I really hope it goes that way. And you build up a certain idea in your head for what you're expecting. But then, of course, you know, you're either disappointed or fulfilled, or whatever emotion happens at the next episode. You're like, wow, all right, I didn't see it going that way. Like Discovery. I don't want to give any spoilers out, but there was a 2-part episode with Giorgio, where they went to this planet because she's from the other dimension, she's having issues, and she's basically breaking down on a molecular level because she doesn't belong in this universe. Very scientific-y. Very spacey-wacy. So I had a feeling, a theory of who the cosmic being was. And no spoilers, I wasn't right, but I wasn't disappointed with who it was. It is a classic Trek cosmic entity, but it wasn't who I was thinking or extrapolating. Because, you know, you have all these clues, and you're like, well, maybe it's this, and this makes sense, because then this would work. And you start coming to your own grandiose conclusions of, well, this is what it's got to be. And I was wrong. But I was pleasantly wrong, and extremely, like, over the moon excited with what they gave me. So, and in those instances, that's where having the wait the week, I think, is beneficial, because I spent the whole week just kind of working it through my head, excited, talking about it. It led to conversation instead of just, you know, getting it all spoon-fed right away, and then at the end going, oh, okay. It just seems so anticlimactic. So whether or not what WandaVision decides to do is an extremely big, good question, I don't know. When you look at, again, this is the other part that really just kind of bugs me, as far as why have we had to wait so long for this show? We've seen trailers for months, and I understand COVID, and I get that. And were we waiting for production to finish because of COVID? Was there filming not done? Is this linked to something that's coming up, especially since I know this is supposed to plug sort of into Doctor Strange and that storyline? So there are some very large arcing questions when it comes to this. But in the afterthought of it, why the hell have I had to wait so long for this damn show? And I don't want to go in with a little bit of resentment saying, well, that sucked. Or, damn it, I waited all this time for that. I don't think that will be the case. And to be honest with you, I mean, when you look at what Disney has accomplished from their streaming platforms and what they're doing, I've been more excited and content with the results than I did with previous stuff. So it's fine. I know I'm just being a baby about it, most likely, but I just find it, you know, kind of troublesome. I don't know why I've had to wait so long for the show. And we'll see what we get, how they expand or explain, and will. I mean, there's also like huge hints that maybe we'll get Quicksilver back, which wouldn't be bad. My hope, and I know this isn't going to be the case, there's no way they could pull this off, unless Emma Caulfield is magic. Maybe. And such a huge stretch, but to see magic come over, and I know we've already seen the New Mutants film and Dark Child and all of that, so I doubt we are going to see, you know, magic come over. But I'm trying to think of like all of the characters that it potentially Emma could be playing, and the problem is, without any kind of reference material or any idea of what the story is, maybe when we get an episode or two in, we'll get kind of an indicator as far as where this is going or where they even are. I'm still betting that they're in Mephisto's realm. I'm still leaning on that, as much as I would love for it to either be Murder World or the Mojoverse. Those two would be really, really fun. I still think Loki's in Mojoverse, but I don't know. It's really there's so much potential, and there's a lot to disseminate as far as what potentially we could be looking at. But in all retrospect, we will see who we get. I guess in addition to Emma, we're gonna get Kat Dennings. So we are getting her back. She is from Thor, of course, and I loved her character, Darcy. She's absolutely just hilarious, and I think, I think there's already plenty enough of comic relief, it looks like, but to see her in there, I'm kind of curious how they're going to work that in there. So, and of course, we're also getting Randall Park as Agent Jimmy Woo from S.H.I.E.L.D. So there's a couple of different additions that are coming out, but what we're going to get is anyone's guess. So mark your calendar, get ready to rumble. Well, I'm never going to say that again. So just set your alarms, because there's nothing else to watch on Disney Plus right now. I checked last night. There's nothing there. So keeping with the comic book kind of thing we got going on today, there's a couple of other big comic stories, driven stories, that I wanted to kind of cover given the week and what's going on, and something that just kind of caught my eye. And talking comics with anybody else is, well, I don't know if the new crew is as versed in comics as others, but I mean, they're skilled, but we'll go over some stuff with them, but these are two things that stuck out to me. One, of course, I've talked about this, and this has been on a few other podcasts, but the Future State, the DC's new, overreaching arc that nobody asked for, it started last week, but there's some major stories titles that are probably hitting this week. Dark Detective, which is one of them, the new Green Lantern, and of course Justice League. They look intriguing, and just from a standpoint of a fan, granted, I'm not really overly excited about all of it. However, it doesn't mean I don't want to read it. It doesn't mean it's not good or wouldn't be good, or what the potential could be. So there is one story that I saw, that Nightwing's being a new apprentice for somebody, and I'm just like, Dick doesn't need, you know, that. Nightwing can stand on his own. Stop crucifying that poor character, you assholes. But That's a story for another day. The titles hitting this week, of course, like The Dark Detective is the big one that I think is going to be kind of a hit, especially with the premise of the story. Of course, last week's Batman that landed was it's Lucius Fox's son who is now taking over as the Batman. So this week with Dark Detective, Batman, Bruce Wayne, is assumed dead and is kind of on the run. So this follows that story and that premise a little bit closer than I think the other titles are going to. And this one is the one that I'm more personally invested in. This is the one I'm kind of, okay, this is I can see from fallout from Joker War and everything else that's gone on. And I think with Sean Murphy's White Knight stories and all of that that have kind of caught on where paints Batman more of a villain and Joker is a victim is far more kind of compelling. I'm a little pulled in on this story. And of course Green Lantern, the battery of course suddenly stops working, the central battery, the big one that gives all the Green Lanterns their power again. And of course all of the different lanterns are stranded in different sectors, different places, and it just kind of tells an interesting story from, I think, those lanterns' perspective and where they're stuck and how they're stuck. And I don't know if they explain what happens with the battery or how it gets, if it ever gets fixed, or what it went down for in the first place. You know, annual maintenance, cleaning. So there's that storyline. And then the Justice League looks compelling just from the standpoint of it's the new characters, it's everyone that DC's bringing in that, you know, how are they going to work together? Because our Justice League, well, they don't always get along. A lot of the time they don't. So we'll see. Get to your shop now and pick them up while you can, because I think this is going to be like the new 52, where the number ones sell out relatively quick. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't have a lot. I'm sure they'll have fair enough for the shelf, but I got a feeling these are just going to fly out. So, with that said, there's a new service or experience that is coming out, and this just kind of hit. So, as I was putting the news together, this came across my desk, and I was like, oh, okay. So, this is how it read. Comic book shopping experience set for debut. Dynamite Entertainment CEO, publisher Nick Baracucci. I think that's his correct pronunciation on his name. Baracucci? Yeah. And retailer Jen King of Space Cadets Collection in Oak Ridge, North Texas, have joined forces to create the Comic Book Shopping Experience, a new network for increasing the profiles of comic shops. The network, which is featured programming across Facebook, YouTube, and its own website. It will host a virtual convention on January 16th through the 18th, followed by its official launch on Monday, January 19th. Content will become available on YouTube after it airs live. The network will launch with 4 hours of programming per day, eventually expanding to 24 hours. The network will promote comic book shops, local retailers, services to connect visitors with comic shops, and according to the New York Times, sell comic books and other collectibles, feature creator appearances, and hold virtual signings. This is interesting. According to an interview that Baracucci did with Hollywood Reporter's Heat Vision, we plan on being one of the ambassadors for the industry. It's more important than I can ever express. Yeah, so it's kind of strange. He says, our strengths to the comic book retailers and help publishers get the word out as well, and we grow the industry. That will be our most important metric of success. So, very interesting. I mean, first of all, that's a lot of content to be producing. And how are they going to pick comic shops to spotlight in retailers and all of that. I mean, it's a great idea, and I'm curious to see how the execution looks on this, as well as the virtual signings. I don't know. I'm still kind of up in the air on the virtual signings aspect of things, because if I'm not there, part of the experience of getting something signed is, A, it's significant to you. And I know there's everyone that's out there that are flipping stuff, and I can't wag a finger at you and say shame on you, because, yeah, that's right, I've done it too. But from the standpoint of getting something signed by the artist or the writer or who have you, is part of just being there, being able to say hi or compliment their work, or in the off chance, and this is, and maybe it's a little bit easier at some of the comic book artists' tables, you know, actually having a conversation, opening a little bit of a dialogue, asking questions. I mean, I've made friends with artists in the industry, being able to sit at their table and just kind of talk, even just listen. David Mack, who I absolutely adore as Batman, his artwork is spectacular. I've never really had a conversation directly with him because he's always just inundated with fans and people are always asking questions, but I've sat there and just listened to the conversations and him talk, and, you know, perused his art book, bought some original art. So, I mean, there is those opportunities, a way of expanding on the experience. So the virtual signings, I'm kind of like, okay, I guess. I don't know. And I don't know if, I mean, there's so many different, I don't know, there's so many different avenues right now that comic book shops can function. I think it's more down to the publishers helping them, because I really don't think at this point, and correct me if I'm wrong, people are intimidated by going into a comic book shop anymore. I think those days, those stigmas are kind of long past, and maybe I'm wrong with my conceptions, but the average mouth-breathing, you know, comic book guy shop have kind of dissolved or faded away, or have caught up to the times and are a little more current with what's going on with the con culture and everything that's going on. So I'm curious to see what this evolves into. Of course, we don't have a website just yet. At least it's not listed in the article. So what happens next is anyone's guess. I'm curious what the virtual convention that they're holding on the 16th through the 18th, and the official launch of the website on Monday, January 19th. So it will be very interesting to see. And I don't know if this is going to end up becoming kind of gatekeepery. And I don't know. And like I said, I think a lot of the problems that comic book shops are running into is from the publisher. Because, I mean, you've got DC that is real. I mean, since AT&T took them over completely in disarray, Marvel is Marvel. And then, of course, you know, you've got the indies and all of, you know, the independent underground comic book shops or publishers and all of that. So I don't know how this is going to work or how they're going to spotlight different shops, especially when they don't know where their market is, unless they're focusing primarily in Texas, where Space Cadets collection is in there, since they're teaming up. So, I mean, I've been to that shop. It's spectacular, but I don't know. I mean, why? I mean, I don't want to. Why would you promote some other comic book shop when, you know, you want the business for your shop? I mean, I'm all for helping other shops. Don't get me wrong. I'm not playing that card. But it just seems kind of strange. I don't know. The virtual con, I will try and follow up and get more information for you guys as far as where and what is planned for this, but it is definitely some forward thinking, and that's always impressive. I always want to see more coming out of the creator side, the comic book side, since it is the lifeblood. It is the essence that has kept a lot of everything going, and you know, it's driving the culture. So if you lose your comic book shops, then there's some problems. And I know everyone's hurting when it comes to going in, picking up your books and pulling your slot and all of the rest of that stuff. So everybody's looking at the bigger picture. So maybe getting more customers through the door is the answer, or better deals from the publisher. Because, I mean, a lot of the shops, perfect example, you've got Time Warp Comics, which has been doing virtual sales. You've got Hall of Justice, which has been doing virtual sales. And Kapow up in Colorado Springs, just for here local. And I know that this isn't the only area that shops are doing that. So, I mean, Big Top Collectibles is also, they're always doing their weekly or biweekly sales. So I don't know if that's necessarily the issue as far as getting the word out for these shops. They have shifted gears, I think, quite seamlessly almost. It was, in fact, I think I've seen an uptick in some of the shops with, you know, online sales and you know, a better performance, a better, you know, interaction. Because, you know, you have the time to actually talk to the owner, because that's always the thing. You know, you go into the shop, you want to be able, you know, to talk to Jonathan or Dom or Wayne or whoever here locally. And, you know, it's sometimes kind of difficult. So to get that interaction on the online sales, especially with your own shop, yeah, I can see the value to it. But like I said, I don't know how this is going to break down, and I'm very curious to see. They have not mentioned who the virtual signings will be with, and I'm sure there's more for this story to come out, but that's what I've got right now. So next week, I probably have more, or more answers, since the 16th is not far away. So that's kind of what I got this for today's comic book corner. Moving on to video games, which is a couple of big stories. This is huge. This actually gets my little 12-year-old in me jumping up and down for joy. Yes, indeed. Bethesda drops a teaser video for the game adaptation of Indiana Jones. This is ridiculously cool. And it's a brief little look. I think it's on Twitter right now. Bethesda Softworks and Lucas Games are teaming up for a brand new video game based on the Indiana Jones franchise. And this is a direct quote from Bethesda. A new Indiana Jones game with an original story is in development from our studio, Machine Games. And we will be executive produced by Todd Howard in collaboration with Lucasfilm Games, which is great. So yes, it is on Twitter if you wanted to see the trailer. In addition, they're saying it'll be some time before we have more to reveal, but we're very excited to share today's news. The trailer on Twitter is perfect. It is, and it's what you expect from Indiana Jones. It's just the desk. It's got clutter and relics and what looks like, you know, his dad's Grail diary, and you get kind of hint it's Indy. But at the end, of course, the music ramps up and there's the fedora and the whip, and you're like, oh, it gave me chills, ladies and gentlemen. Just gave me chills. I was like, oh, brilliant. So, a new Indiana Jones game. I have no idea what to expect from this. Bethesda, I don't think have really done bad games. I mean, that's the weird part about it. I don't know what to expect. I wouldn't imagine a shooter and side-scroller, or I don't know. It's open world? Ooh, that would be interesting. I don't know. So, it will be very interesting as we get more information, but to get that little peek, that little preview was just perfect. Also, in video game news, this isn't a surprise, and I think we're going to see more stories like this as the year progresses, but studios being acquired added to game designers. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm waiting to see who ends up with, you know, like Square Enix and Ubisoft and all of that stuff. So whatever, you know, satellite developers are still floating out there. Well, there's one less. Let's just put it that way. Next Level Games is getting acquired by Nintendo. This is the driving force behind Luigi Mansion 3. Actually, they've been working with Nintendo for a number of years. They're a Canadian-based developer. And this really actually came as no surprise to me at all. They've been working closely with them for a number of years, and to see them get taken in and just kind of given the loving embrace treatment really, really warms my heart. Because Luigi's Mansion was on par for me, probably one of the best. I want to say it was the best for that year. It's definitely the best in the series, but the gameplay, the engine, just the overall graphics, everything in that game just really worked. There's a few holes, mind you, I get it, but all in all, it was a really, really well-designed game. Gooigi was just perfect. I mean, from the Ghostbuster side for me, I was just laughing my ass off half the time. And rightfully so. There's just so much with that game, and it's fun and it's great. So the developers, Next Level Games, joining them. I guess this is going to be a done deal and closed by March 1st of this year, according to Nintendo. Their quote directly, they're looking to facilitate and anticipated improvements in the development speed and quality by enabling closer communication and exchange of staff with Nintendo development team. So I am hoping we will see more from them. I mean, they've been working with Nintendo since 2005, going back to the GameCube days, and I think they've done a spectacular job. And if it means that kind of quality going forward for the Switch and what Nintendo produces as far as games, I'm all for that, absolutely. So if I can get more gameplay and handling like I got with Gooigi. Gooey. I just like saying a name. I don't know why. Just Gooigi. Yeah, I'm all for it. This is perfect. Congratulations, guys. Welcome home. And what else have we got? Rounding out the must-have news this week for me that I wanted to relay to you that I deemed important, that I'm like, I got to get this out just because I'm just anxious. Antsy to talk to somebody about it. The latest in development when it comes to James Bond, No Time to Die, which was supposed to have a April release date, has decided that they are going to push off into the fall. Because, of course, due to the Rona, and this is coming according to Dateline, and the film's promotional partners are gearing up for a shift to fall release. The following ducks, basically No Time to Die will be moved from its April release date to November, though MGM has yet to officially announce anything. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I really am. If there's one film, and okay, I like the HBO Max approach. My feel bads aren't hurt right now, having to watch Wonder Woman on HBO Max at home on my system. I'm very fond of my system. It's a very loud system. It's very encompassing, and I like the quality that I've been able to create at home. However, there is still something to be said about the theater experience, and just that big frickin' screen. I you know, size matters sometimes. I really enjoy a big theater and the popcorn and the cinema, the whole thing. It's not just one-sided. It's not just going to the theater. And I know I've probably beaten this to death, this poor horse. But I just, I hope, I'm sure they will survive. I'm sure the theaters will survive. However, there are some opportunities out there as theaters are, you know, facing a very grim reality as the Rona is doing whatever a virus does. So I think, in my modest opinion, as it is, a Bond film is meant to be enjoyed in a theater. I mean, it is a spectacle, a grandiose display of action, of setting. I mean, the place that they have gone and visited, and just the surroundings, and immersing you into the world of a spy that, you know, it's, I find watching it on the smaller screen a little not as enjoyable. It's still fun to watch, don't get me wrong. I've revisited many of the Bond films, of course, you know, with Sean Connery's passing. We did the you know, tribute night of Bond, Dr. No, of course, right at the top. And it's just, it's not the same. It really isn't. But this doesn't come as a surprise. And if Daniel Craig is really out, if he's really done with the character, because I know he's said this before, and I'm sure we'll hear it again, that, you know, he's not doing it anymore, that this is his final hurrah. Fine. I get that. You can't do the same character forever. I say, why not? But, you know, there are other projects, other things. I'm sure the physicality of just doing the stunts and everything. I mean, even the promo poster just looks like it, you know, was an all-day shooting event. So I get it. It's taxing on the body. So I understand. But at the same point, I really am anxious to see this Bond film. And I'm hoping that it doesn't end up kind of like what we got with Wonder Woman. But this really needs the full theater treatment. And hopefully we'll be back to something of a normal environment when the world stops burning by the fall season. And that's kind of it. Just like I said, something brief, something to let you know that the podcast is still alive. We will be back. We have the crew. Everything is set. Just finishing out some of the final things. This is also kind of a test of some new gear. So, yeah, it's all in progress. So, again, thank you for listening. Give us a like. Give us a share. Go over to our YouTube channel, 5280 Geek. Give us a subscribe. Give us a like. We will be adding to there starting next week. Yeah. So all new stuff, all new things. In the meantime, as always, run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.